This is Jim Inkster. Coming today on the show, we will visit with retired Lieutenant General Russell Honoré, best known for serving as commander of the Joint Task Force Katrina 8 years ago. He's still a busy man. The general who is living in our midst is now fighting the ravages of what happened at Bayou Corn 1 year ago this week. We will talk with him about the sinkhole and what is happening to the people who were affected by this incident. Also on the show, veteran Times-Picayune reporter, columnist, Lois Eric Ely. He has written a book about food in the Crescent City. Seems like an easy one, but it's quite a book. Tremé, Stories and Recipes from the Heart of New Orleans. Now the news on 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. 297-5633 is your number, 877-217-5757. Our guest is a man whose face and voice are known worldwide, Russell Luke Honoré, retired lieutenant general who served as the 33rd commanding general of the U.S. Army, 1st Army, in Georgia, best known as the commander of the Joint Task Force Katrina, responsible for coordinating military relief efforts 8 years ago when Katrina slammed our state. Bronze Star winner, Legion of Merit, many distinctions in his 37 years, 3 months, and 3 days in the United States Army. And now the general is doing some other things, including monitoring the tragedy at Bayou Corn, which occurred 1 year ago this week. Good morning, General Honoré.
Good morning, Jim. Great to be back with you.
Well, good to visit with you. You look strong. You're working out, aren't you?
Yes, sir. I get to go to the gym twice a day when I'm in town.
Well, you have become a person, as I stated, who is known throughout the world. I don't think there's any city, certainly in the United States, where you can go without people knowing who you are. Is that good or bad?
Well, it comes at awkward times, getting out of a taxi or checking into a hotel where you're trying to rush and to stop and acknowledge people that they recognize you and spend a little time with them. But it's an honor.
Well, you must like people. You're the youngest of 12 children.
Actually, number 8 of 12.
Number but, 8, okay.
You learn to get along. Okay. You learn to operate as a team when you have that many in the family.
I guess you have to. Well, what's occurring right now at Bayou Corn? Why did you get involved in the sinkhole?
Well, it started a year ago when the event happened. At that time, I was as a contributor with CNN, and I went down to take a look and to talk to some of the people and encourage CNN to come do a story. And they did come in the early parts. And then about a little over a month ago, I got a call from an email from one of the residents asking me to come help them. Try to get some attention to what was happening at the sinkhole because they didn't think they were getting necessarily attention from the media, from the state, or from the federal government. And I went down, spoke with them, and volunteered to help them try to get some attention to what was happening and what is happening at the sinkhole. And that's what I've been trying to do for the last little over a month.
297-5633 is your number. Outside the area, it's 877-217-5757. You may reach us by email, inkstershow@wrkf.org, and we will talk with the general about a few things, but we're starting with the Assumption Parish sinkhole, now a year old, and this week the state of Louisiana sued Texas Brine, accusing the company of environmental damage and responsibility for the massive sinkhole that officials say was caused by the collapse of a salt dome cavern operated by Texas Brine. Now, what has not happened that you believe should happen, General?
Well, number one, the CEO of Texas Brine hadn't come here and apologize to these people, show some respect, that he recognized the pain and suffering he's caused, because after a year, Jim, they are going from a evacuation to a relocation. Number two, the company did not do the moral thing or the right thing in terms of helping people to relocate. After the direction from the state, they were told to buy people out. The company went in and they are offering people current value for their home as opposed to replacement value. Now, we saw that after Katrina. We saw a lot of people lost their homes and their property because they were offered replacement value. So, in essence, you had situations in the Ninth Ward where people were offered $50,000, current value, or value of free storm. But on Magazine Street, the same size house, they offered them $250,000. That's not fair. With Texas Brine, or this company, don't try to pronounce their name, the company has done, they have offered them a current value. These people are not moving because they want to move. They're moving because they're being told to move. And many of them are in predicament. They're on fixed income. So the company look at the house, it might be 2,000 square feet, and say it's worth $100,000. You can't replace a 2,000 square foot house in Louisiana for $100,000. You understand? That is the problem. It's unfair. Now, the company would say, well, you got a chance to go to court, you can get a lawyer, and you can negotiate it. But why do the people have to do that? Just be fair with the people. You cannot replace a 2,000 square foot house in South Louisiana for $100,000 in the area that, and in that area code. Just down the road, Pierre Park, there's an acre lot that's selling for $130,000 on Highway 70. You can't do it. And it's not fair to the people. And it's caused, and the state and the federal government have not stood up to the company because the laws we have in the state, as well as the federal government, the Clean Water Act that control our water, exempt the extraction companies from following the Clean Water Act. It is a shame to see what's happening to our water and our aquifers just in and around the salt dome, because the problem we got in Bayou Corn is the same problem we have at Lake Panure and the Coteau Aquifer.
297-5633 if you'd like to talk with General Russell Honore. Charles on North Foster. Hi, Charles. You're on the air.
Hi, gentlemen. Good morning, Joe. It's a pleasure to speak with you, sir. I wonder if most people know that Texas Brine is on a subsidiary of Occidental Chemical, and that Occidental Chemical is owned by the Koch brothers, who are big GOP contributors, conservative GOP contributors, and big gender supporters. I think folks need to take those cameras over there to Texas and put them on the Koch brothers and ask them why two billionaire brothers are treating the folks in Bayou Corn the way they are.
All right. General, what do you say?
Well, I think people in Louisiana, we understand the importance of the extraction business to our economy. I think they may be close to employing about 400,000 people, according to their information. But we got to understand the jobs they create are not just Louisiana jobs. They create regional jobs. If you don't believe me, go down to Gonzales and look at all those five new hotels. Most of them are out of state trucks parked there working in Louisiana, and they go home on the weekend. Right. If you don't believe me, go to Plymouth Parish, same thing. We've got to fix the attitude that because they create jobs, they're allowed to destroy our water and our aquifers. That cannot stand.
Well, the sinkhole is about 40 miles south of Baton Rouge, 24 acres now, 350 residents have been evacuated. Some have taken the settlement money, though. Some obviously are content, or maybe they just decided they would take the path of least resistance, but they've taken the money. So would you advise people to take it or to hold out?
I think people have to make the individual choices, because I've sat down and talked with the people. Later on, many of them asked me to come down, and people have to do individual things that's best for their families. Mm-hmm. Now, many people don't have the choice to hold out, Jim. The judge won't look at this case until next April. Mm-hmm. So what do you do between now and next April? Do you try to hold out with your home as it deteriorates? What do you do? And people have to make choices based on their particular circumstances. And that's been the attitude of the group that I've met with repetitively down at Bayou Corn.
Well, about 13 acres were totally swallowed up. Governor Jindal made his first trip there in March, and this happened on August 3rd of last year. Some criticized the governor for not acting more quickly. Do you find any fault with anything the governor has done or has not?
Well, I think everybody in government today in Louisiana who try to defend what we are doing now is on the wrong side of history, to use a line. the problems we have in Louisiana now is we don't have the capacity to control these companies. We don't have the regulators in sufficient number. We don't have the technical capacity, meaning state workers who can do this. We don't even have the capacity to monitor if these people are paying the right amount of royalties to the state or the right amount of tax. So we can be friends with these companies. We want them to come here, but they cannot self-rule. They cannot self-regulate. That doesn't work. The best medicine in a democracy is transparency. And we've got to have good bureaucrats to be able to monitor what these companies are doing. A lot of people get on the pitch stand and say, well, we got to be business friendly. But yes, but that's why we have over 20,000 oil wells that are abandoned in Louisiana and thousands of canals that have been abandoned.
Dan downtown. Dan, you're on the air with General Russell Honoré.
Yeah, General, you mentioned attitudes and history. You think that this Bayou corn is another sad example of what Herbert Hoover said. The only thing wrong with capitalism is capitalists. They're too damn greedy.
I think that has an element of greed to it. I know I painted people in this industry with a broad brush, but the history has shown, and you don't have to go far in Louisiana to see a place that have not been mitigated because we've done some oil exploration or some type of extraction and have not fixed it. The sadder thing is what we are doing to our water supply. Even here in Baton Rouge, our water is threatened because of overuse by industry as opposed to using water out of the Mississippi River. We are threatened all over the South Louisiana. This thing about selling more LP gas overseas is going to put more stress on our water supply. Yes, the gas is down there. You can extract it. But in the process of extracting, you are pumping dirty water back into the earth that will probably be there for 80 to 100 years before it becomes clean again. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Are you working for anybody in particular, or are you just a citizen?
I'm doing this as a philanthropic effort for the people of Bayou Corn and the people of Louisiana. You know, I'd like my grandkids to be able to live here, too, and breathe the air. I'd like the chemical company guy to go put his house next to one of the chemical plants. When he put his house there, then I think we'll be safe. They don't live there. They don't even live in the state. Most of these companies are from Texas.
Why don't you run for office?
I would not. I don't think I have the temperament for it, number one. And I wouldn't have the temperament to run around and raise money and then become beholden to people who gave me money.
But you might be able to make a difference if you were governor or.
Well, I think right now what I'm talking to some close associates, we're going to try to write a proposition for the legislature, because the legislature, they are bound and co-opted by the business. I mean, we've got the best government money can buy in Louisiana. But I think what we can do is make the legislature understand the laws that we have now on the books were written when many of them were just a dream. They weren't even born yet. We've got to go back and fix those laws. We've got to fix what's in the rearview mirror. But better than that, for their legacy and for their kids looking in the front mirror, they've got to create the laws that control these companies so they don't continue to destroy our wetlands and leave mess all over Louisiana where they fail to go back and clean it.
Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Phil, you're on with General Honoré.
Hello?
Yes. Phil?
Yes, I'm sorry. I just want to back you up on what you're saying. I mean, we don't ever really talk about this as serious adults, but there's this thing called peak oil, and I believe that our country reached its peak production in 1970. So not only is the oil really a finite resource, it's also something that, I mean, it's here in Louisiana. Believe me, the oil companies are going to stay here or be here. They're going to go where the oil is, and we have the oil here. And what I'm afraid of is that once they are gone, that there will be no recourse for mitigation.
Well, that's a good point. In a democracy, the way you solve disagreements is in the courts. So the people of Louisiana are going to have to decide how we're going to approach that with the courts. I mean, that's why the state of Louisiana sued the company a week ago, because the company even disagreed with paying the state for the money the state has spent on Bayou Corn.
297-5633, back in 90 seconds with General Honoré. This is Jim Engster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. 297-5633 is your number. General Russell Honoré is with us, and he became a worldwide phenomenon 8 years ago, and the slogan, "Don't Get Stuck on Stupid," has become part of the national fabric, and now he is taking aim at Texas Brine for this incident at Bayou Corn a year ago and 6 days. And with us now, calling in, is Sonny Cranch, a spokesperson for Texas Brine. Good morning, Sonny.
Good morning. First off, I want to say that Texas Brine has the greatest respect for General Honoré and his service to our country and to the state. But I did want to challenge just a couple of thoughts that were shared by both the general and one, a couple of the call-in folks. When we did the settlement offers, we based appraisals on the first quarter of 2012, which was before the first bubble was ever reported. And we appraised each property individually based on the structure, the lot size, and condition of the property, et cetera, et cetera. And we felt we made what was a fair and reasonable offer to the residents who were able to deal with us directly. There were guidelines set forth by federal court judge Jay Zaney that we adhered to, regardless of whether it was a federal suit or whether it was in the state district court, in terms of who we could speak with directly, and that was basically people who did not have legal representation. But we made our offers. People could accept the offers. Many did. Some countered our offer. We accepted their counteroffer, and we countered some counteroffers, and they accepted that. Then we went to mediation, and 63 of the potential 103 residents without legal or did not have legal representation accepted our 64. I'm sorry, accepted our or we came to an agreement with those people. This is a complex issue. It's got many plates spinning. DNR has been very active in management of this issue. DEQ, DHH. But anyway, we feel that the offers were fair and reasonable. They were not current market values. They were, in fact, market values prior to the sinkhole's appearance. A caller had called in and claimed ownership. Texas Brine is a family-owned business. It is not owned by Occidental or any of these other corporate giants. It is a family-owned business, and it is headquartered in Texas. It has no ownership outside of the family. And as far as the environment is concerned, I think one of the there's some allusion to that. The DEQ has been regularly sampling water quality in the surrounding swamp area and in the streams and bayous, and air quality. And as one Department of Health and Hospitals official said, the air quality in Bayou Corn is better than the air quality in Baton Rouge. We are trying our very best to respond as effectively as we can to an unprecedented event.
All right, hang on, Sonny. I don't want you to go anywhere, but we'll go to some callers, but I did want the general to respond briefly to your remarks.
Well, there you go, DEQ. The air quality in Bayou Corn is better than Baton Rouge. That's saying a lot, meaning that with the number of chemical plants we got around Baton Rouge. But back to the point, and Sonny represented his company well. But using as a standard that they are giving people fair value, by self-admission, he has said that. They're not giving them replacement costs. Jim, these people, many of them on fixed income. If you tell me to move, I would expect you going to pay me enough to buy a house equal to what I have. The company has not done that, and they've refused to do that. And Sonny, you know, they probably got somebody doing this for them. The message to the company leadership is just be fair with the people. We're not talking about an enormous amount of money. We're just talking about something to replace the home they have now at an equal place somewhere in the region. That's where most of them want to go. That's all they're talking about.
Well, we feel that our offers, and those who have accepted obviously feel the same thing, that They are fair, and we do continue to negotiate, by the way, with attorneys, though. And many of the individual residents have hired individual counsel, and that work goes on as we speak right now. But we feel that they are fair and reasonable, and we have, and it's not just the value of the property that is being offered to these individuals, but that is privileged information, and I am not free to discuss the various amounts that have been offered or accepted through this process, but it has been fair and it has been reasonable. But look, General, you're the guest here, and I was just calling in to point out a few issues that with which I did not agree and wanted to correct. So let's get back to the show, know you have a lot of other issues to discuss, so I appreciate your taking my call, Jim.
Well, thank you, Sonny, and hopefully we'll have you in studio.
Great.
Most interesting man, Sonny Cranch. Francis on Airline Highway. Francis, good morning. You're on with General Honore.
Hey, General Honore, how are you this morning?
Good morning.
I just wanted to say I think it's your passion and your temperament that would be a great benefit to the citizens in the state of Louisiana if you were to run for office. You'd have my vote, sir.
Thank you for your confidence.
Francis, thank you. Judy on Highway 44. Hi, Judy. You're on with General Honore.
Good morning, gentlemen. And General Honore, it's an honor to speak to you again. I had a chance to meet you at the Homeless Plantation a while back. Honestly, I think I'm echoing what the other gentleman said. It is past time to get someone who is brutally honest in politics and not beholden to others. Please run. You are desperately needed. That's all I needed to say.
All right. Here's an observation from Delia saying we need to change our terminology for the terms we use at the onset of a discussion, determine its direction. I don't know exactly, but he says, as for the Department of Natural Resources, the department has always been little more than a subsidiary of the oil and gas and other extractive industries in the state. What do you think? You think that industry controls our state?
I meet the people who work for our state, in their heart, they do the best they can. But, Jim, the laws that we have, they will tell you, here's our checklist we work by. The checklist was written by the legislature of Louisiana. Many of it written years ago. So they'll go out with their checklist. They'll go out with their standard. The problem is those standards are not sufficient enough to protect our water, our wetlands, and our people of Louisiana. So they are doing their job. The problem is they don't have the robustness to control an industry that is expected to self-police itself. It does not work. We have major industries here, even around Bayou Corn, that are very volatile industrial parks that are protected by volunteer fire department. What in the heck are we doing? If you want to come in and put some big industry, we're going to give you a tax breaks where we normally do in Louisiana. You're going to have to put a fire department in that can respond. You have to put an alert system in that tell people there's a release because gas does go beyond the fence line.
Mm-hmm. 297-5633, still time to get in with General Russell Honore. BB in Iberville Parish says the people of Louisiana need to wake up to the fact that out-of-state industry cannot be allowed to continue to come to our state for the sake of jobs, tear up the environment, then leave after they've made tons of money. That's from BB in Iberville Parish. Deborah writes, if it had not been for General Honore's intercession, there would still be little or no attention brought to bear on the Bayou Corn sinkhole. And Roberto writes, why is it that big industry in Louisiana is always paying the deal makers in the beginning with a few jobs and such, but later the taxpayers of the state suffer by having to pay and deal with the cleanup and the damage to the land? All these people are echoing your thoughts. Colonel Johnson says, please ask the general about his cause for a 95-year-old veteran killed by the police outside of Chicago the other day. You're involved in that?
Well, I saw the story and posted it. It's the most unfortunate incident where we got police who deem it necessary to look at a 95-year-old man and shoot him with a taser, thereby causing bodily harm and demise. That's unbelievable. I think we got to go back and look at how we're training our police. And again, I know a lot of good police officers that normally doesn't happen. That's an exception. But we need to take a look at our shoot rules.
Heidi and Baker. Heidi, good morning. You're on with General Honore.
Hi, I just wanted to say that General Honore did more for the city of New Orleans than anybody else in the country. And he's one of the most honorable men that I have ever heard speak. He should skip being governor and go straight to president, because I would go state by state to campaign for this man.
I feel a groundswell developing right here.
You started something, Jim, but that was not my intent, to focus on the poor people at Bayou Corn and what's happening there. But Bayou Corn is analogous to what's happening in Grand Bayou, which is just 3 miles away. We lost that whole community because of an extraction event. We lost Jefferson Island, a major part of it, because of a failure of a salt dome. I think we've just got to... People have to be more aware. We need to know as much about the extraction business and oil and gas as we know about football. Because if we don't, this could affect the lives of us and our children.
Brian downtown. Brian, you're on with General Russell Honore.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Fine.
Morning.
Listen, I just wanted to make a comment about your boy Sonny, who is just on the air over from Texas.
Sonny's not from Texas. Sonny lives right here in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and has for many years. So what do you have to say about Mr. Cranch?
Anyway, what I wanted to say about the man who is defending the air bubble was that I found it very interesting that as soon as we kind of down, he's and slowly faded out. And it seems to me like he's kind of taking advantage of people's short attention spans these.
All right. Sonny's doing his job, and I'm glad he did call in, because he corrected an erroneous statement by a previous caller, Charles on North Foster, and that's what Sonny's, he's just doing his job. You don't have any fault with Sonny Cranch, do you, General Honore? Right?
No, the democracy worked best when we have transparency. And what gives us transparency is the press. So people like Sonny make their living off of being able to provide the best presence for a company when they're in a crisis like this. And that's what he does. And that's what he's doing. But that being said, we have to look at this as, how do we protect our right and our ability to live in a safe environment in Louisiana with an assurance that we've got the right regulation, the right equipment, the right people, and the right requirements. We do not follow the Clean Water Act in Louisiana, and I'd like to talk about that a little bit more.
All right, 297-5633, your number. Dr. Darlene calling in. Dr. Darlene, good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to say to you, Jim, and to you, General Honore, that I really appreciate this call, this program this morning. And as you know, Jim, you had me on your show a couple of months ago with my new book, Living in an Environmentally Traumatized World. And I would like General Honore to volunteer to help with your cause, because I am a psychologist and I could perhaps help in the cause of moving our world forward, especially in our state.
All right.
Thank you. Jim will give you my email.
Okay. Do these people have issues that go beyond the physical loss of property? I would imagine there's some grief involved here.
Well, I meet with them and have met with them every couple of weeks for over the last month. And if one of the things they trained us in the military is how to recognize post-traumatic stress, and I think some of the people are suffering from that. There have been no help offered by the company or by the state. An informal survey taken down there, Jim, of 80 homes, 27 of them had people that had cancer or people who had died from cancer. That ought to scare the hell out of it. But you know, we cannot get the state or the federal government to include the EPA. When I call the EPA, you know what they told me?
What?
The state supervised the Clean Water Act. That's the way Congress wrote the rule. Yet, if I found a drug dealer, I could call the DEA, I could call the FBI, I could call the Department of Justice to go deal with him. But if I see somebody violating the Clean Water Act, you cannot call the EPA and expect them to show up. They'll tell you you got to deal with the state.
Brandon at Bayou Corn. Brandon, good morning. You're on with General Honore.
How you doing? I just want to thank the general for getting involved. And I wasn't going to call, and it kind of irritates me. When I know I can tell in your voice that you respect Mr. Sonny, but I've been out of my house for a year, and I have a lawyer, and I've never been contacted. My family doesn't want to go back. I had to take the burden of buying another piece of property. I'm living in a mobile home now. I went from a 2,500 square foot house that I worked hard for my family to be proud of, to have a nice place. Now my little girl can't play with her toys. I want him to put a price on that. I want him to put a price on my kid not wanting to sleep in the bed because she don't want to be here. And of course, referring to something that my family worked so hard for is referred to by my four-year-old as the stinky sinkhole house. Put a price on it for me.
All right. Have you accepted any settlement offer, Brandon?
I've never been offered.
You've never been?
I'm a lawyer. This is the mentality of this company. Me and my father worked to get a big enough piece of property, 3 acres for his two sons to build on the side of him. 2 years ago, me and my wife were fortunate enough to build a nice house on the side of him. They had the nerve to come in and want to put vent wells in our yards and ask for free-ranging access for as long as they needed our property, to go anywhere on our property. That's the kind of mentality. They think they own Bayou Corn right now.
All right. I don't think you were able to hear much of what Brandon said, General, because of some issues in studio here, but he's wound up and says he hasn't been offered any settlement money, and he says the company is not acting appropriately. I gather that you would agree with most of what he said.
Because one of the things we made loud and clear, we had all the residents write the grievances that wanted to, and I think we had about 20 residents took time, wrote the grievances out. We've sent those to the state and asked the state to address us as well as to the parish. And one of the resounding thing on everyone who wrote something down was a lack of respect by the company for the people. And they send the spokesman out. They don't come out. They don't respect the people. They don't respect their property. And they don't respect how these people will live in. It's like being able and having the right to do anything they want, anywhere they want. And that's what happened when we have self-regulation by the industry.
Have the media done a good job reporting?
We've had, you can tell some media, they go about to the 90th percentile of reporting. But again, the media too, again, this industry has a big footprint and a big power here in the state. But by and large, I think the media does report what's going on, but they could do more. They could do some of the investigating reporting. What is the health issue in Biocon not been covered? What is the real status of what's going on with the offers made to people in value, not covered? How much tax does Texas Brian pay? How much royalty does Texas Brian pay? How much tax breaks does Texas? That's where the media need to go. They're not asking the hard questions.
Right, we'll return in 90 seconds with a fired up General Honore. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. 297-5633 is your number, 877-217-5757. A few more minutes with General Russell Honore, D in Westdale. D, good morning. You're on with the General.
Hi. Yes, I'm actually calling from Baton Rouge. I am so proud to be living in a state who has someone like the General on the radio talking about the Clean Water Act in Louisiana, because I have come from a place that is very environmentally conscious. And I think that one thing that has always concerned me, General, is that the people of Louisiana, I think, are so somehow threatened by the oil industry, which does have, you know, oil and gas has a huge footprint here, and, you know, the other industries that have huge chemical footprints here. I think that people think that they seem to me, this is just my opinion, but they seem to me afraid that if they take any kind of environmental stand, meaning our politicians, that somehow that's going to scare them away.
All right.
Well, good point. We, the oil extract, the extraction business, meaning all underground mining and oil, are basically exempt from the EPA Clean Water Act by act of Congress. But the Congress wrote the rules so the states would self-regulate inside the state. That is one of the problems. The EPA has no teeth to come in and say, this is a violation and do something. The places that they have gone, they've gotten big pushback. But we need federal standards so we follow the federal Clean Water Act. Let me just give you an example, Jim. When I was in the Army the last 20 years, if we parked a vehicle, we had to put a pan under it so a drop of oil would not drop on federal land because it would be a violation of Clean Water Act. That is not happening in Louisiana. Nothing close to it is happening in Louisiana. We got to fix that. And that is the question the press got asked. Why not? Without the press provide transparency. A democracy only works when there's transparency.
297-5633, James on Corsi. James, you're on with General Honore. Hi, James.
Good morning, gentlemen. And good morning, General. Thank you for all you've done since Katrina and onwards. And don't stop now. I have one brief question, Jim. Or a statement and a quick question to the general. I think the whole tone of what's happened with this failed salt dome and the response of Texas Brine, that tone was set by our absentee governor who brings industry jobs here with incentives that are worth far more than they'll ever give back to us, more than likely. And the handful of jobs that are actually left once a few thousand construction jobs are over. I think this governor, this morning, wherever he is in this country, traveling, speaking on behalf of some of his buddies, is the real problem here.
All right, this guy's on a vent about Governor Jindal.
Again, I think it's the laws that have been created over time that have given the industry the right to self-police. I think that is the biggest issue. This happened way before this man came to office. But it is his responsibility to set the record right. He's got to deal with the legacy lawsuits. Those suits have been delayed for years, Jim. Over 20,000 wells abandoned. We've got to get the oil companies to agree to go mitigate that. This is not about making money. This is about fixing wells that they know they abandoned. We don't have the legislature focused on. We're going to write a proposition that's going to be sitting on their desks when they come back. That's going to say we've got to get the companies to fix this or it's going to destroy our water. We will not have crawfish. We will not have blue crab. We will not have shrimp. That is the problem. We will not have saccharides. Now, think about that. That is the problem we got to fix. We want the jobs, but you got to do it right and clean what you break.
Now, if you had been governor and this occurred on August 3rd, 2012, would it have taken you until March of the following year to get to the place?
I'm not going to respond to that. You know the answer probably to that.
I think the answer is you would have been there a little sooner, maybe a lot sooner.
This ain't personal. This is
no,
a problem.
Of course it's not. It's just...
Yeah, it's a problem just, that has to be addressed.
But here's the man who said, if I'm a leader, I have a mission.
Yes, sir.
This is a mission.
This is a mission.
This is a mission. So what's the next step?
Awareness of the people in Louisiana. We got to literally kick the ant pile. You know what happens when you kick an ant pile? People, the ants start moving. We got the people in Louisiana. This has to be on the agenda. We cannot keep electing our future leaders, and I'm not running for office, based on guns, where they stand on gun control. We got 4.2 million people in Louisiana thereabouts. We've got about 20 million guns. We got guns. We don't need more gun control. We need control of the extraction business to make sure they don't destroy our environment. Right here in Baton Rouge, which prides itself in some of the best water in the United States, the aquifer is being threatened by overuse of the water by industry. We've got to control that, Jim.
All right. Well, we're 20 days away from the 8th anniversary of Katrina, and hopefully we'll have the general back soon. We didn't talk much about that today, but... He's also got a new book, Leadership is in the New Normal.
By Acadian Press out of Lafayette.
So we will talk about that. You'll come back?
Yes, sir, I will.
Okay. It's good to see you, General Honore.
Thank you.
Nice to see you and looking fit and hearty and full of vim and vigor. We're joined now by Lolis Eric Eli, New Orleans native, award-winning staff writer and story editor for the HBO series Tremé, and formerly a columnist for the New Orleans Times-Picayune. He has produced quite a book along with the help of Ed Anderson called Tremé, Stories and Recipes from the Heart of New Orleans. Good morning, Lois.
Good morning, Jim. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Nice to talk with you, and you're making the rounds. You're in another part of the country right now promoting this book, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm in North Carolina now, where there's an exhibition of costumes from the Tremé TV show.
Well, it's a television show that certainly captures New Orleans and all its glory, and you have found something that I think anybody who mentions those two words, New Orleans, immediately thinks of the food.
Indeed. And what we try to do with the show is make the food an actual character, in the sense that you know how it is, man. You're in New Orleans, and it's such a definitive part of the experience. So we wanted to make that a part of the signature of the television show. So the book's really an extension of that.
Well, the book is something that is an extension of your work on the series. How did you get involved?
Well, the creators of the show, David Simon and Eric Overmeyer, when they came here to do it, they figured they needed a couple of New Orleans writers who had been in the city and had experienced the sort of post-Katrina impact, what was going on. And so they chose me and Tom Piazza. And I think they did that also because we really both write a lot about the music of the city, and a lot of the show is also trying to incorporate music into a one-hour drama.
And the book, it's not just any book. It rivals the work of John Fulce. It's a huge book with a lot of material about New Orleans and about recipes. And you're obviously, Lois, a man who has captured the essence of New Orleans, and it's a city you love.
Well, you know, I'm glad you mentioned John Fulce because in many ways we got a very similar ambition. You know, Fulce has put out several tomes that really define Louisiana cuisine in great detail and depth. And one of the things that bothers me a lot about the discussions that you get about our food is people just sort of dismiss it and say, oh, yeah, it's all French or whatever. And it's really not that. It's far more complicated and far more interesting. And I wanted to create a book that would tell the story of our food and the people that make our food, but also in a way that gives you a range of recipes from simple stuff like microwave pralines the more complicated thing that you saw our chef create on screen when she was in New York and when she came back to New Orleans in the third season.
Well, some great profiles of people. Tell us about Delmond Lambro.
Well, Delmond is a trumpet player. He's the son of our big chief character, Albert Lambro. And the idea is that Delmond doesn't do a whole lot of cooking. But the book is organized so that each character kind of brings you into their New Orleans, their favorite restaurants, the meals that either they cook or that their friends and relatives have taught them to cook. So with Delmond, you get a pretty simple recipe of some shrimp and zucchini, which is something we make all the time. You know, my mother made that for me growing up. So you get stuff as easy as that to stuff far more in depth.
And then there's Jeanette Desautels.
Well, she was our chef character, and the way we have this thing set up is that she has come back to New Orleans to write a book about New Orleans food that will include all of our characters. So after the introduction, I kind of disappear, and Jeanette Desautels actually writes the book. So it's much like the television show in that even though you go around talking about what such and such a character said on the TV show, the truth is that the writer wrote that line behind the screen. And so Jeanette is the one who takes us through both her own experiences from the first season when she's in New Orleans. We have some recipes from there, some recipes that she learned from our real-life chef, Susan Spicer, from over at Bayona, and then recipes she created when she came back to New Orleans, like the Clemenceau shrimp and the crawfish ravioli that ends up sort of taking over her place. So she gives us a real sense of the range of New Orleans cuisine, from home food to fancy restaurant stuff.
The book is Tremé, Stories and Recipes from the Heart of New Orleans, from Lois Eric Eli. Now, you dedicate the book to the cooks of New Orleans, the women and men who tend the home fires, who shuck the oysters and stir the stock pots, who peel the potatoes and the shrimp before the chef arrives, who sell their pralines and hot sausage sandwiches at second-line parades and church suppers, who tend the little patches of mustard greens and Creole tomatoes and fence-buster vines these are the people who are dedicated appropriately in the book.
Well, what we often miss about the difference between New Orleans cuisine and other fine dining capitals is that there's a dialogue between the fancy restaurant chef and the home cook. If you look at John Fulce, at John Besh, at Donald Link, all these great chefs are in dialogue with the gumbo their mama made and the smothered okra that their mama made. And so my point is that even though this is a serious book about this New York this show that's on national television, it also is about those people that we all grew up with and those people whose food we've been eating since shortly after the cradle.
What part of the city did you grow up in, Lois?
I grew up uptown around Carrollton and Claiborne.
Right. So where'd you go to school?
Went to Noka and Ben Franklin and Trinity Episcopal for elementary school.
Good schools. And you were at the Picayune for, what, well over a decade?
Yeah, about 13 years. And, you know, I had a Metro column, which meant I could write about politics, but I could also write about food and music.
Anything you wanted to write about.
Pretty much.
What do you think about what's happened to the Picayune?
Well, I tell you something. While great newspapers like the Washington Post and the Boston Globe are being sold at fire sale prices because people think they're not worth what they used to be, all of a sudden in New Orleans we got a real newspaper war. We got, once again, two major papers covering the news on a daily basis. So, as usual, New Orleans is so far behind the times that we're ahead.
Do you miss being at the paper?
It was funny because hearing General Honoré just now sort of vent about his concerns, I'm like, man, if I had a column, I could write about that stuff.
Yeah.
There's always so much stuff going on, you know, like this this lawsuit against the oil companies for the dredging, that kind of thing. I'd love to have a forum to write about it. But also, you know, you got to move on at some point.
Now, you live in New Orleans and in Los Angeles, right?
Yeah, I started work on a TV show on AMC called Hell on Wheels, and it's actually going to have its third season premiere tomorrow on AMC. And so most of the TV writing work is out there, kind of made a career switch. So I'm going back and forth between home and Los Angeles.
And this is not your first book?
No, I did a book on the culture of barbecue called Smokestack Lightning. And that came out in the mid-90s. Mm-hmm. And that sort of launched my food writing career. So even when I was at the Picayune, I was also doing some food writing and doing some documentary film work on the side.
Where's the best barbecue in the United States?
You know, whenever people ask me that, I say, well, if you get the best version of any of the regional specialties, you'll do well. The problem is that if you go to a place, you go to the first Carolina or Texas barbecue place you see, and it's not good, you conclude that Texas barbecue is not good or Carolina barbecue is not good. My experience in working at it in depth is that when you find the people in each region who are doing it seriously, the food is going to be good.
Well, it's done no place any better than it is in New Orleans, is it?
Well, we are not really a barbecue place. That's
I'm not talking about
better.
Barbecue in per se. I'm just talking about food.
Oh, New Orleans is a treasure internationally. In terms of food, there's no place where you can go, whether you want to spend $5 on a po' boy or $500 on a fine dining meal. New Orleans has a signature cuisine, and few other major food cities have that kind of signature.
Well, one of the reviews of Lois's book, Tremé, food, music, and New Orleans are all passions about which it seems to me all reasonable people of substance should be vocal. This book gives voice to the characters, real and imaginary, whose love and a deep attachments to a great city, but deeply wounded city, should be immediately understandable with one bite. Lois Eric Eli, and the book is Tremé, Stories and Recipes from the Heart of New Orleans. You say you miss covering politics, though.
I do. You know, really, what you do as a columnist is you try to put the facts into an interesting context. So every now and then something will strike you, and you say, wait a minute, this contradiction or this juxtaposition would be perfect for a column. I mean, it's not merely that I have an opinion. It's that I have an idea about how to put these facts together in a way that will be compelling. And that's what I miss, doing that.
Who are the most interesting politicians you covered, Lois?
Governor Foster
was really
one of my favorites. He's like built for columnizing about. Because there's a man who didn't seem to be that enthusiastic about being governor.
No, he went to law school while he was governor.
Because law school and governing are both such easy things that
that's
he was
right.
able to
that's
do
that's right. Both. C.B. for Godston, our friend called him Bananas Foster.
C.B. is wonderful. In fact, when I read C.B.'s email, that's one of the things that makes me want to write a column.
There you go. Well, congrats on the book, Treme, from Lois Eric Eli. Good to visit with you. And we'll be back Monday. Until then, for Kevin, I'm Jim. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Podcasts of The Jim Engster Show are available at WRKF.org. The Jim Engster Show is produced in association with the Louisiana Radio Network and is copyrighted by WRKF for the private use of its audience. Any other use of any portion of this program without the written consent of WRKF is prohibited. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of WRKF, its officers, and members.